All right.
Okay.
For realsies.
Here we go. Like that ever meant anything. Okay, we're going to really do it this time.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm really seriousing up now. I got it. My bad.
Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, JV. In this show, my man, James, Tape Leg Grayling, and I look ahead to the playoff series against the Blues. We talk about who is stepping up at the right time, and we even talk a little rec league softball. Those topics and a whole bunch more Avs and hockey stuff coming at you in episode number 128 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Stay tuned. The AHP is next. Hey, what's going on, Avalanche fans? Welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. He is James Tape Leg Grayling. He has two thumbs. And I'm Jay Veen. And this is your home for almost everything Avalanche. James
Jay, I got a question for Grayling. You.
What's going on?
I got a question for you.
I have answers.
Who's got two thumbs and is excited for the playoffs?
This guy. This guy right here.
This guy.
I'd have to say that too. I've got two thumbs as well. Can I join your club?
You can. Are you excited for the playoffs?
I'm in.
Then you're in.
Yeah, watching the second period of Thursday's game against the Kings, the president's clincher, the division clincher, the home ice. Yeah, I'm ready.
All the clinching.
There's a lot of clinching. All the clinches.
Mm-hmm.
The Avs had all the tiebreakers, as Kyle Keith kept saying on TV, but they got all the clinching as well. So it was kind of a rolling scale, but they had to win their last five games to make that happen, and that's exactly what they did. So that was fun.
Jay, tell me what episode of the Avs Hockey Podcast this is.
I'm going to say it right this time. I'm going to slow down. Yeah. I forgot the 100. Should I bring the thunder? I forgot the 100 last time, and then nothing cracks you up more than when I mess up, which I think is totally worth it.
Nailed it.
And I don't mess up very often.
We have a super cut to prove otherwise.
But, yes, we, yeah.
But
we
you honestly
with,
don't.
With lots of bleeps in it. But this is episode number 128 of the Avs Hockey Podcast, your home for almost everything Avalanche.
Jay.
Nailed it.
Let's talk jersey number 28.
Let's do, there's a lot.
Whom you are wearing right now. Avalanche legend, Ben Gitte.
Legendary eyebrows, Ben Gitte.
Tell me about the patch that's on your jersey.
The patch on my jersey is the Garth Brooks teammates for kids. You know what this looks like.
Hmm.
This is a game issue jersey. They wore one set that was auctioned off for one of Garth Brooks's charities. And this was worn on January 5th, 2007. It actually wasn't worn. It was issued to him. And actually what the team tried to do is they tried to take this patch off. And it's not really like a patch. There's no edge on it. I don't know what they did. They must have made just like this big big sheet of them or something and just kind of roughly cut them out. It's really interesting. I've had it sewn since. But you could tell they tried to take this off.
Why?
And
why would they do that?
I think they were just trying to repurpose the jersey. There isn't an infinite amount of jerseys available for these guys. But it was interesting when I got it. It has all the paperwork with it. I still have all the paperwork, but
they have a store right there. It's called Altitude Authentics. Isn't that like everything in there is authentic? Couldn't they just go in there and buy one?
It's like, authentic right there? Enough. Yeah. But just their prices
are
crazy.
Take off that little patch that's on there that says, that no other jerseys have that.
Something like that. But yeah, they tried to take this off and I got it resewn and it looks good. But yeah, this was made to wear that night. He was hurt that night. And the rest is history in my collection.
Have you ever been injured while wearing that jersey?
I have not. Not yet, at least.
Okay.
I'm
making you think about it.
I know. I'm going to be really careful moving this table back to where I got it from.
Every time you wear that jersey, it's going to be like in your head, just like when a song gets stuck in your head.
Man. Oh, yeah. You'd never do that to me.
Never. But there were
one of the
people.
28s in Avalanche history. What else you got there? Who else?
Well, I got Peter Worrell.
Yes.
I mean,
good times.
Former legend of the Florida Panthers.
Yes, he was. He's a tough guy.
Another tough guy, David Kochi.
28th's the number for tough guys. Well, mm-hmm. that's the end of that list, but that's okay.
I don't know. I'd go with Ian Cole also on that list.
Just a little bit. Not quite as tough as Worrell or Kochi, but 28th's a number for mostly tough guys. How's that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also Eric LaCroix.
Yes.
Who I'm 98% certain is related to Pierre LaCroix.
We'll see if we hear from anybody.
His son, and that people, and that there was some upsetness about him being on the team at the time.
There was, but he stuck around for 3 years there. Well, close to 3 years. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, but never won, not in the years, in the intervening years, in the in-between years of Stanley Cup. So he did not win a cup with them.
No, he didn't.
There was also, so looking at the list, just looking down the list, Paul Stewart was with the, was 1980 with the Nordiques.
Is that the referee Paul Stewart?
That was what I was wondering. And I genuinely do not know. So
but here, you talk. I'm acting, you know, sometimes
that's
we
act really.
So
that's what everyone came here for. There's Jay, if they're reaching for the fast forward button, they might as well be reaching for the stop button. Oh my God. James, just hold down the fort for a little while.
You're doing
really?
It.
Really?
You're doing it. You're doing it.
Barely. There was a Lemieux. There was an Elaine Lemieux.
Oh, that has to be the same, right?
I probably actually is Claude Lemieux and he just changed his name.
I'm betting on that.
Eras, right?
I am totally betting on that.
Steve Duchesne.
I want to say that might be Duchesne there.
That could be it, which is probably exactly the same as.
Exactly. I can go ahead and say that is the same. Paul Stewart, the Hall of Fame official.
No kidding.
Played for the Quebec Nordiques in 1979-80.
Wow.
21 games played, 2 goals scored, 74 penalty minutes. So add him to the list of tough guys.
Will do. And you know, the it's funny because then now, you know, it's always the tough guys who go then be refs and be like, the player, the Department of Player Safety, our current guy who is nobody's friend.
No, he's not.
No, he is not.
Actually called out by the Rangers. That was what an interesting thing.
Oh,
what
an interesting cycle of events. But people are not here for the Rangers. We'll get to, you know, we may chat with about the Rangers later, but we're
maybe
here
on a different podcast.
Avalanche.
Yeah. Who else? Steven Ranprecht.
Yeah.
Steven Ranprecht had some good years with the Avs and lasted in the league forever.
Yeah.
And Patrick Weirkosh too.
Agassino.
University of Denver Pioneer. I believe he ended his NHL career with the Avalanche.
Paul Carey, another one of those kind of, I don't know, I mean, nondescript, general, you know, beige Avalanche players, like those guys who, when you mention a name, it's like, yeah, I remember that they were part of the team and they were around, and I couldn't pick him out of a lineup.
I said, I was thinking about that. He's a name that pops up because he was on the opening night roster in 2014. And I believe that was the night that they were retiring one of the jerseys. So I remember his jersey being one of the ones that were up for auction because he was on that opening night roster. But other than that, I couldn't tell you a whole lot about what Paul Carey did in an Avalanche uniform.
You could probably pick up a Paul Carey jersey super cheap.
Yes, you could.
Yeah.
Toward the bottom of that list. So there we go.
But at the top of my list right now, playoffs.
Playoffs?
Playoffs.
We love us some playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
We really do.
Mm-hmm.
The Avalanche on Thursday night as we record this is Sunday, won their 5th game in a row to win the Honda West Division. I know how much you like that branding.
Oh, yeah.
And love it. They won the President's Trophy for the first time since 2001.
What else happened in 2001?
Oh, such good things. It got me thinking, rewatching the second period of last Thursday's game got me thinking about some names that I'll mention here in a little bit from the 2001 team that will bring it all together.
Okay.
For those people that don't know it, James and I are old and we didn't
we
have
are
a
what pod- the kids call the olds.
We're the olds. We didn't have a podcast back then, but we watched all that unfold in 2001 and it was awesome. And we're hoping for a repeat. How's that?
There are years when you just look at it and you say, you know what? It's not going to happen. It's obviously not going to happen. And this year, there's just been that much hope and hype. And from the get-go, the amount of hype has been ridiculous. That the Avs have been that number one, slot. If and then all everything kind of, I don't know. There was a good period of time there where I thought, yeah, no, this is all just falling apart.
It's too much.
The amount of injuries, the way they would respond sometimes with the injuries, that they just weren't playing as well as a team. And we were taught, all you would hear about is the depth of the team, but it was the depth through four lines.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd test that. And
yeah, they even ran out of that this year.
Exactly.
With so many guys out. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you wonder, okay, so what is that next, you know, is that going to fit? And at times it didn't. It just felt like, oh, this is where it falls apart. This is where things go bad, and trying not to be upset about, you know, like, or trying not to be a doom and gloom
kind realistic of thing. Yeah.
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 But yeah, it was, so throughout all of that, and also like looking at how, Vegas just seemed to have the Avs number so well this season, that it just felt like, wow, why are people still predicting that the Avs are going to be absolutely it when they look really human at times through this? Yeah. And also the fact that there hasn't been that big test against other teams. It's with this weird concentrated season where they're only playing the same teams over and over. It's going to be interesting to see what kind of difference that makes.
That has come up a few times. People wonder, is this the best Avalanche team that we as fans have ever seen? The statistics say yes, but the schedule and the weirdness of the season would say to be determined. You know, you're playing the same seven teams all year long. So as far as matching up against these seven teams, for the most part, things went pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously well enough to win a really, really tough division, because not only did Vegas keep winning, the Wild kept winning as well. And it was down to those last three, four games. So the Avs proved that they have what it takes to be able to take care of that. But there's still a lot to be proven. Health is still an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Depth is always going to be an issue for every single team. And I think the Blues are going to get, they're going to be able to figure that out pretty soon too. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But either way, the Avalanche secure home ice through the playoffs, which is big, because they're 16-0-1 their last 17 games at home. That's pretty good. Depth or no depth, whoever you're playing, that's good. We're no experts.
When you're a zero in that second one, yeah, that's
no regulation losses in 17 home games. Yeah, that's good. And being able to secure home ice is huge. I think another thing that we talked about the other night was that they're playing games that matter all the way through. But so are Minnesota and so is Vegas. But we've seen time and time again, you know, a couple years ago when the Avalanche beat the Flames in the first round as the 8th seed, the Flames hadn't played a game that mattered for weeks, if not a month, if not a little bit more than that. You can't just flip a switch and turn on your playoff switch. That's just not how sports works. So I think this is an advantage for the Avalanche. Just keep it rolling. The playoffs actually began probably 7 or 8 games ago because they could not afford to lose. And they kept winning. And then last three out of the four games that they played, they didn't have Nathan MacKinnon. I know he was hurt, but they almost rested him as well. They could afford to rest him and still win games.
Yeah.
So good things happening so far. They just need to keep it going.
Which, you know, that was, I know we're going to talk a little bit about injuries, but that was interesting fit seeing Tyson Jost on that top line.
First line, Tyson Jost.
He wouldn't have been, I don't think he would have been my first pick. But he rose the challenge. And I think that what Tyson Jost's career has kind of played out, what it's shown has been that he just needs a little time, you know, give him the chance, give him the time, and he can make a shot of it. People have expectations that he's going to be this big player right off the jump. That isn't what happened. That hasn't been his career and it hasn't been his arc. So, he's one of those guys who does need to find the fit, and he found the fit pretty well.
It's so cool to watch him find his place on this team, because he comes in, as we talked about him before on the show numerous times, he comes in as a top 10 player, first line center, first line everything growing up. This is the first time where he's had to make an adjustment, but now what he's turned into is a versatile forward that you can play on the first, probably on any line. He's not going to be your grinder on the third and fourth lines, but he's going to be valuable. And it's really cool to watch him go from a place where you know how it goes during trade season, during close to the trade deadline. Let's just trade everybody we don't like and get people we like more. Mm-hmm. And his name came up throughout several of the years.
Yeah.
And now his name is coming up as people start to talk about who's going to be protected from Seattle in the draft. And nice. That's pretty cool. And to watch him grow and to watch him be as versatile as he is, he can kill penalties. He can obviously play on the power play. It's good to see that he's found his spot, and it takes time. And it's good for the team for sticking with him as well.
Yeah, he's where I feel like he's really found his spot is along the boards.
Mm-hmm.
That there was a time when he wouldn't go in there at all. Or
he's not very big.
Really, yeah. Cautious. I can't say they wasn't being, he wasn't being that physical.
Right.
But at the same time, there's like that, there's that thing where you go into the boards and you, the play can go one way or the play can go the other. And that's going to be controlled by whoever has the puck. And if you, sometimes you back off from the board so that you're not going to make a mistake as to which way to go. If you're right up on a guy, he jogs left and you jog right. Well, you've lost him. And now Jost is much more shifty in that way where he's, sure. where defending, he waits a little bit more, reads the play better than he used to, along the boards. He is more shifty. He's a little quicker with the puck. He's working more to get away from people. And so
as you talked about that, Sam Girard comes up as well. It's not, it's not necessarily being physical. It's trying to figure out what you can do with what you can bring physically. There's plenty of big guys that really can't do that either. So it's trying to figure out how to use whatever size you have to the best of your advantage. And like he and Sam Girard do it well. Girard's not going to force anybody off the puck. But you watch him, McNabb was talking about it the other night during the second period. Watch him use a stick. He uses a stick instead to control where the players are going to go and what options those players have. And as I guess Jost for sure, like you were just saying, gets used to the speed of the NHL and what kind of time you have because, you know, you don't have as much time as you used to have. And it takes some time to be able to figure that out. But yeah. Man, it sure is cool to watch him. And it's cool
to watch him, man. He's actually smiling. I was just thinking about this the other day that like before previous seasons, you never see him smiling. Like he's not having any fun at all.
Yeah. Nor should he. Like, you know, it's probably so frustrating. He's never struggled like this in hockey. I mean, he goes to North Dakota and he's top 10 pick in the NHL. Like, I'm not supposed to struggle, and he does, but he's figured it out. Whereas there's a lot of players that have never figured that out. And they can't get used to that. But yeah, good for him.
Well, when you're swiping pucks away from people's heads and smack them in the head and still laughing about it.
That's one of my favorite. how am I supposed to say the GIF word with so I don't get yelled at?
However you want. Go ahead and say it.
No, you're going to judge it if I say it the wrong way.
You rolls the dice, you takes your chances.
It's one of my favorite graphic interchange formats.
Yeah, GIF. Yeah, it's a GIF.
Okay, good. That was easy.
Yeah.
That was really easy. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's keep talking about injuries, though, because we talked about Nathan MacKinnon missing three of the last four games.
Mm-hmm.
He's supposed to be okay. Bednar said he missed one game for one reason. That was the game. I can't remember who it was against. It was before the Vegas game, the third to last game. And then he got injured in that Vegas game, too. So they just wanted to give him some time to rest. So that's good. Mm-hmm. He's had like a week. He'll have close to like a week or a little bit more off, which is good. Sam Girard came back after missing six games. I believe that was a knee. They're actually, Bednar's not giving any big updates anymore as far as who's playing, who's not, who's hurt, why they're hurt. He's not even going upper body, lower body anymore. He's just saying who's in and who's out. So,
yeah. Devin, the chest, that's fine.
Yeah. Fair enough. You saw him get hurt, but that's not really what's hurt. It's another thing somewhere else.
Yeah.
Wink. Devin Dubnyk was placed on the COVID list. He'll return soon. Now, who's the backup goaltender? Because Jonas Johansson comes in, had seven starts for the Avalanche. He's 5-1-1, 1.98 goals against, 919 save percentage. He had a shutout as well. Mm-hmm. Who's your backup? Hopefully, we don't have to figure this out either. That's a question I'd rather not answer at all.
They're going to put, in my opinion, they're going to put the money guy / experience guy in. They're not going to keep Johansson as the backup. But that said, I think it's absolutely going to depend on how Dubnyk comes back from COVID. I mean, if he's out for a couple of weeks, that's one thing. If he's out for a couple of weeks and it lingers and it takes more recovery time, at least you got a guy you know, and you're not relying on Miska. Now, who is the third right now? Is it Miska? Is it Warner? You know, what do you do?
I'd probably say, I don't know. They should have somebody on the taxi squad. I don't know. We can check the roster, right? Let's look at the roster and see who.
Can we?
I think we can.
I genuinely haven't been sure if you could, you know, who was on what.
Well, there's a taxi squad, and I believe that there's always a third goalie on that taxi squad. So let me look and see who's on here.
I mean, on the Avalanche stats. They're both on there.
I think it's Miska. It's Miska then.
Okay. Yeah, it's on the Avalanche stats page, it's Grubauer, Johansson, Dubnyk, and Miska.
So it's Miska. So I don't know who. And like I said, I hope that's a question we don't have to worry about, because we had to worry about that last year in the playoffs, and I didn't prefer that. No, thank you.
Yeah,
nobody.
I would say that you know, the thing with Johansson that still worries me has been the rebounds, but it seems like rebounds have been a thing all across league this year. That people are firing lower to get the rebound. That maybe the shots are getting a little harder. Maybe it's the traffic. But it seems like everybody is producing more rebounds than I'm used to.
Yeah.
So maybe it is a thing. Maybe it's not a thing. I'm really not sure these days.
Yeah. Well, I'd rather see Grooby and stay with Grooby. So.
Oh, of course.
We'll just go with that.
And of course, there was a time when it was like, you know, is this guy going to be the guy? Is this guy going to be the guy? And he's
had a great year.
He was injured for a little, or he was out with on the COVID protocols for a little while. He played 40 games.
Yeah.
You know, and still had 30 wins. I mean,
pace of I believe McNabb said, you know, like 52 wins. Like that's a strong year. And he'll definitely be in the Vezina talk, as you know, for sure. Kale McCarr will be in the Norris talk for after the season. Nathan MacKinnon will be MVP talk for that. And I know we're biased, but I think Jared Bednar is your coach, is your Jack Adams winner, is coach of the year.
I don't think he's going to be Jack. I don't think he's even going to get nominated. And not because he was coaching a really good team. Because you coached a team that is expected to win the Stanley Cup. You know, how do you say that this coach is just so great because, you know, in that kind of situation?
But with the injuries, though, I don't know. I'm just throwing this out there.
Sure, why not?
Would you? You're wrong.
I'm sure. Okay.
I'm like, okay, this matters. That. Let's argue about it. I'll hang up on you, and that'll be the okay. That was a good show.
And you, sir, I bid good day.
I said good day.
I bid you adieu.
I said, yeah.
See, we're multilingual.
Oh yeah, we're awesome.
No, Brandon, I don't think that. I think that one of the people I saw come up was the coach for the Senators, because of the way that they managed the end of the season. And I was like,
no, that's wrong.
I can tell you who certainly isn't going to win is going to be Tortorella
or Rick Tocchet. No, either one. Yeah, interesting times. But I think Bednar will be in the. That's such a weird thing. None of those guys want those trophies, anyways. I mean, those trophies are very nice and everything, but no, there's only one trophy everybody wants.
Well, sure.
I think that's the end of that conversation.
I think it's a nice idea, but I don't know. I mean, I'd be just fine having a little bit of hardware that wasn't the Stanley Cup if I wasn't going to win the Stanley Cup.
Indeed.
You know, I mean, you want that other one, but like, you're going to throw this one away, you know? Oh, yes, you've won the Hart five times.
Put it in the trash.
I didn't win a Stanley Cup. So, you know, there's the dumpster. No.
These are horrible. Just let me know where that dumpster is. I'll take care of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brandon Saad is also close to returning, so that's good. I think people may have even forgotten that he's been gone. But Brandon Saad had a lower body injury. That's when they were still announcing where injuries were and stuff. So I think he's skating and he's close to coming back. And did they get a week off almost? The Avs? No, they got a little bit less than that. But having some time off, this is the longest extended break they've had in, you know, 6 weeks or something like that, where their last game was Thursday and they don't play again until tomorrow. So I think every day counts, and getting a little healthier every day is a good thing for this team.
Yeah. I think there's, you know, there's that play every day, you know, keeping the zone, keeping the mode. But yeah, the amount of wear and tear that these guys go through, and especially when, you know, LA had nothing to play for except for pride, yeah. but they're still going to play for pride. They're still going to play hard punish you. So it was pretty fortunate that they had the end of the schedule the way that they did.
Agreed.
But they still had to come back against teams like Vegas, where there were challenges and there were tests. There were a lot less tests over the last two games of the season,
It was interesting to watch them win that third to last game against Vegas. Huge game. JT Confer scores late in the third to give the Avs a 2-1 lead in the win. They didn't look that good that game. They were a little bit off. Vegas had them on their heels a little bit. Bednar even broke up that big line in the third period, actually kind of opened things up for the Avs. So I thought that was a good kind of coach of the year move. It was.
You're just gonna try and rub it in my face, aren't you? You said he wouldn't.
I'm gonna tell you. But that was they lean on Philip Grubauer. Philip Grubauer stole that game. I believe he had 34 saves, if I remember right. But he played really, really well. So we talked about this in the past. The Avs could only win the game in certain ways where their goaltending wasn't that good, their defense wasn't near as solid, and they just had to rely on their offense. And if their offense was off, they didn't really have a shot. But It was cool to watch in a big game their goaltender just basically take over. And that's a big confidence boost, I think, for Grubauer and as well as the team.
I told you, I have the guy who is the hype guy for Knights and their in-game. And on Instagram, he'll put like game day, he'll put in things in his stories, as the game goes on, and he's like showing the crowd, and then the drummers and blah blah blah, and then in that game it was when Vegas scored first and 1-0, he like has the stories 1-0, and then after that silence.
That's
dead
it.
Silence.
We love that silence. Nothing.
It's like, oh, Mark, where'd you go?
Yeah.
Where'd you go, Mark?
You're still there? Did they log you off?
Did they? Yeah, you okay? Did you lose signal? What's going on here, buddy? No.
I love it. Yeah, things got real quiet. That was a big win against the team that they need. A game they obviously needed to win, and a game that keeps them away from Vegas, at least for a round.
Mm-hmm.
How this is all, I think, going to work. They're going to reseed after, I believe, the second round, but you're within your division for the first two rounds. So, again, kind of more weirdness, but... staying away from Vegas, I think, while Vegas and Minnesota beat up on each other, hopefully things will work out how they're supposed to.
I'm hoping for 7 games and a lot of beatdowns.
There we go. Yep.
Instead, the Avs have the Blues.
They sure do.
Which is kind of interesting because sometimes the Avs have not looked so great against the Blues. And yet, I was kind of a little bit surprised to realize that the Blues won, or that the Avs won the season series 5-3.
They did. They played pretty well. They split those first two games. If we think way back to the beginning when the Blues beat them opening night and the Avs were like, oh, we're not the favorites anymore. And then they came out and smashed them the next night. But the Blues finished the season 27-20-9. That's 63 points. They had 19 less points than the Avs. You would think that, no problem, whatever, but we know that's never a thing in the playoffs. The Blues won their last three games of the season, including sweeping the Wild in the last two games. And the Wild were playing great, great hockey. They beat them 11-3 combined in the last two games of the year. We know the Blues are a tough matchup. They're a Stanley Cup champion. Ryan O'Reilly is their captain. We know Ryan O'Reilly very, very well. He's a hockey player, as Pierre McGuire would say, right?
Somebody on Reddit did like a supercut of the amount of times that he said that in that Blues Avs game NBC had that.
Yeah.
He's a hockey player. Well, thanks. Well,
yeah.
This is actually the thing that I'm really not looking forward to for the playoffs is when the games go to NBC and Pierre's there. I know how mad you're going to be.
I know how many texts I'm going to be getting. I know that. I feel bad. I need to share the angst with someone, and you're usually the person. I'm sure you're looking at your phone like you have a mute button. You know that, right, bud? But yeah, I know better now. And whenever I think that things are just going to be different, I unmute and I end up feeling the same way. So. Mm. I think I'm done with that. You'll believe that when you do not get a text from me.
I know what's coming. What's coming.
Yeah.
So
well, at least Ryan you're ready. O'Reilly, at least you're ready for it.
Ryan O'Reilly, hockey player Ryan O'Reilly.
Yeah. Somebody asked him some questions.
There was. I sent you the message on this one, and then and the response was pretty fun too. I don't know what he was asked.
I think you said it right though. Like it was a bad question. Like quotes like this start off with a really bad question. We know this.
he basically said, you know, yeah, we're gonna beat the Avs, we're gonna win. You mm-hmm. know, I'm paraphrasing, obviously.
Sure.
And the question had to be, well, can you beat the Avalanche? You know, I like you know that somebody asked him a dumb question, and
exactly
you and what else are you gonna say? So you could get all like, can you imagine if like he said, I don't know if we can beat them.
I'm not
sure. Pretty good, and
we're not as good. We're not as good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so. But thanks for asking. Because
there's a time for paying like the respect of, well, they're a really good hockey
player, right?
And blah,
right.
blah, blah.
You can do both.
So, and you know what? This wasn't the time for that. It's like maybe the question was, well, you're behind on the stats, you blah blah. They have all this, they have all that. Can you beat them? You know, who knows? But when I saw his you know, Ryan O'Reilly says they can beat the Avalanche, I was like, well, what else is he gonna say?
Yeah, and that was just the. I think you're exactly right. I haven't heard the whole interview. I just have the quotes that everybody loves to grab onto. But yeah,
it's part of sports journalism or interviews or behavior that drives me nuts. Like trying to understand exactly when the appropriate time for this amount of humility versus that amount of hype versus this amount of, you know, paying your respect versus that amount of strutting your stuff. You know, it's like,
I also know
the,
me.
I got the same tail feathers no matter what. So
exactly.
How I'm going to strut them is what's going to happen.
And I know me as a journalist, I need clicks. So I'm going to ask you a question that's kind of loaded, just loaded enough to see if you go to the place that I'd like to. And it's almost like, you know, when other journalists throughout make people cry, it's like, yes, that's what I'm looking for. But kind of the same, kind of a similar thing where, we're going to have some fun and we're going to beat them. Yeah, what else is he going to say? Like, I mean, we don't have a shot, or we'll just give it our best shot, but I don't think it's going to go that well. Like,
I mean, so good for him for being, not giving a stock answer.
Yeah, he's captain of the Blues. That's what he's supposed to say.
Yeah, hype your guys up. Do what you got to do. You know, and hey, fine. You know, you got to play the game. You got to play the game. It's just so weird, the whole... it seems like fans can never decide whether or not to be upset at somebody for strutting it or not, or something. Like we all know the game exists. We all know that this is how to play it. And yet people get upset when you deviate a little.
When you answer the wrong way, when you answer a terrible question with a terrible answer, and then people get mad.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, you know, hey, good for you, Ryan O'Reilly.
Yep.
You keep it up, big guy.
That's right. We'll see you on the ice there.
Yeah, pal. Totally.
One thing about Ryan O'Reilly, he won't have, he'll have one less person to go to battle with, because David Perron is someone, when I made this, I went into the notes, I believe it was Friday night, and I was just kind of updating things so we'd be ready for this morning. And David Perron was somebody that I thought of. He's been an Avs killer, you know, for a while now on several different teams. So he was a name. He's their top scorer, I believe. He's their top goal scorer. I think Ryan O'Reilly might be their top scorer, but he's their top goal scorer. He's on the COVID list. This hasn't made big news, I guess, or anything. But as long as that's not a false positive, he will be out for 2 weeks from last Friday. So that I think that actually includes the entire scheduled series, maybe game 7. I haven't done the math on that yet, but that's a big loss for this team.
Yeah.
That's one of their biggest offensive threats, one of their biggest guys that he's beaten up on the Avs for a lot of years. So I never am happy that people get sick and have COVID, things like that, especially, you know, with everything going on with vaccines and everything, but that's big and something that should be taken into consideration for sure.
That's enormous. When you lose a player like that, I mean, when the Avs started going on the COVID list, when Landeskog went on, we know exactly how we felt. It was like, oh boy, you know, you can have next man up as much as you want, but there is still talent level that needs to be replaced. And Perron is one of those guys where there may be a next man up, but that's going to be some good sized shoes to fill.
Yeah. It's going to be the combination of a couple guys really stepping up their game. And that's much easier said than done. So that hasn't gotten a whole lot of attention. I think they're waiting to see if that was a false positive that was posted. But he and a couple of his teammates are on the COVID list, and that's really bad timing, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the nature of what this season is so far, and that's tough. So I hope I obviously know that the Blues are trying to be as careful as possible, but I hope that doesn't come back to impact the Avs at all either, because the timing on that is really, really bad. But I guess we'll see. Jordan Binnington is 18-14 this year. He basically, I don't know if he led the team to the Stanley Cup a couple years ago by himself, but he has definitely not been as good as he has been through the years. And as good as, you know, we remember him a couple years ago.
And but, he knows it. He's the amount of frustration that he has shown.
Absolutely.
Has been, you know, he's gone off on guys. I remember one where he got pulled and on his way out the door, he was shoving guys. I think he went after Erik Karlsson of the Sharks.
Yeah.
And then tried to get in somebody else. And yeah, it was pretty childish. And he's a kid. He's a young guy.
He is. You know? He had a lot of success in his first season. And I think that makes it kind of rough too. But yeah, that's going to be interesting as well. So the Blues are a bigger, they're a bigger team. They're going to play a physical game like we know, like Craig Berube likes to, you know, take advantage of, and should be a good, you know, it's going to be a good series. There's not a whole lot of people, the quote unquote experts, that are choosing the Blues to win, but that doesn't mean that makes things any easier. This is the playoffs. Anything can happen. So you can't take anything for granted, especially with COVID in the mix as well. Mm-hmm. I know health has always been a big thing during the playoffs, and you need to keep your best players healthy, and your best players need to be your best players. But now you've got COVID to worry about as well. So this will be, you know, a playoff run. You know, last year was one thing, this year was another, and it'll be unlike any other. And yeah, there's all that.
Absolutely.
Yep. Let's see. Let's go. But we can talk about Ball Arena. Ball Arena. Speaking of COVID, the capacity was 4,050 up until right now, actually. For Nuggets playoffs games and also Avalanche playoff games, the capacity number is now 7,750. So 42.3%. Yes, sir.
Nuggets are in the playoffs?
The Denver Nuggets basketball club. You ever heard of them?
I remember short shorts.
Yes.
You know,
Skyline uniforms. Yeah. Skyline they're in uniforms. The playoffs as well.
They're in the playoffs.
Yes. Playoffs?
Playoffs.
Yeah. They're in.
Wow.
Yeah, they're playing okay. They're playing pretty well.
Wow.
So, basketball.
Basketball. Huh. Who'd have thought the Nuggets would actually be in?
Interesting.
Huh.
Yeah, they've had a pretty good year.
Whole lot of hockey fans that don't live in Colorado right now going, so what? Can we
What's going on? Yeah. Can we just keep this moving?
Can we just talk hockey, please? Yes, we can. Sorry.
Yeah, but another 4,700 fans. 3,700. Math is hard. 3,700 fans. That's good stuff. So it'll be a little bit louder, a few more people, and I think that'll make a big difference. It really will. So,
oh, man, how much are those tickets going to be?
A little bit.
It's going to be pricey.
There you go. It is playoff time, and this is when players step up when they are needed the most. And we have seen this within the last week or two. Watching JT Compher, like I said, score his goal against Vegas one night. The next game, he comes out and scores his first career hat trick. Tyson Jost, who we just mentioned, had two goals in the second period against the Kings, heating up for sure. P.E. Belmar.
That was his first two-goal game, wasn't it?
No, he's had a hat trick before. He had a hat trick in Tampa a couple of years ago. Yeah. If I remember right. But that was like three of his only handful of goals that whole year. But I think I'm right on that
one. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. No. But I mean, it's been a while, and it seems, you know, it's not really what he's paid to do. But if when he's playing on that first line, that's really his job. And he's looked really good the last few games. Mm-hmm. You know, he's going to be back on his regular place when MacKinnon comes back. But still, going in with that confidence makes a big difference. P.E. Belmar, goals in the last two games. Connor Timmins, I watched the second period before we started recording this. I don't think he's looked better in a period besides that second period in against the Kings. I mean, he looked fabulous. And they're even talking about it, even if they had a chance to send him down, they wouldn't send him down. That's how good he has looked. Andre Burakovsky's heating up. Now, Nazem Kadri has not, but you get some of these guys going, that's how you win playoff series, and that's how you win the cup.
And you keep hearing, as soon as he scores a goal, Kadri's going to heat up. He scored a goal. He hasn't heated up.
Yeah, that's true. He struggled a little bit.
He's an interesting one right now.
Yep.
It's just the struggles, and also that he has that that target on his back as being always the guy that you can goad into get taking a bad penalty or things like that. So the attention is on him. Maybe, you know, and maybe that's a good thing in a way. He keeps the attention and it opens up the other two guys on his line.
Sure.
I don't know.
He's handled that fairly well this year. Yeah, he's handled that fairly well this year.
Fairly well.
Yeah. But you can see he has his moments and that's what he's known for and that's who he is. But you get a player like him going, like big things could happen. And it just reminded me of back in 2001, especially Stefan Jell, Dan Hino, Ville Niemenen, all scoring big goals during the playoffs and all playing as well as they had like that whole year. And names like Confer, Jost, Belmar, Burakovsky, once you get those guys going, you have your non-negotiables, right? You've got, you know, you have guys that have to be your best players. You're gonna hear that a lot in the playoffs. This is kind of your first taste of the playoffs as a fan or whatever. You know, your best players need to be your best players. So Landeskog, Rantanen, Makar, and McKinnon. Those are the guys that have to carry the load. And if they go cold, it's going to be a little bit tougher to go where they need to go. But it's the mid-level guys who can kind of get things going. If Connor Timmins keeps playing that way, I mean, and Devon Taves the same way, this team has some serious depth, and that's why a lot of people are still picking them as their favorite to win the cup. Still a lot of work to do, obviously, and that's an injury or two away from, you know, a very different team. But that's the kind of stuff that I was thinking about.
Well, you and I have also talked before about the secondary scoring, and there have been times when those non-negotiables have gotten cold, or they've gotten where all the focus of a team was on that top line. When all the focus of your opponent is on the top line, it opens up the other three lines. And in the past, in the last several seasons, there just hasn't been the secondary scoring when that's been the case, when they've really needed it. Now they're getting it. And that's, you know, that opens things up quite a bit.
Yeah, it does. It makes it that much tougher to defend. Yanis Donskoy is another name I forgot to add on my list right here, but his goal the other night, awesome goal, tipped out of midair. He just took a swipe at it and finished. He has a new career high in goals. That was his 17th goal. Mm-hmm. He hadn't scored for a little bit, and he was on the COVID list before that, but he's had a heck of a year. So guys like that.
With 19.
Burakovsky, that wrist shot is just nasty.
Yeah.
And he's always looking to shoot, which you gotta love as well. You know, if you're a certain type of player, Sammy Girard's another one. I don't know if you can necessarily lean on him to be an offensive threat all the time, but him being effective enough to be able to gather enough attention and enough energy from a defense, so then he can distribute to, you know, lots of other people. These are the keys. You know,
with Girard, it's his 27 assists. I mean, he's got 5 goals. That's not that many goals.
Yeah.
And yet it's all those assists. It's getting it through. It's getting it where you can have tips. It's getting the puck through for rebounds, things like that. Yeah. And also getting it up ice. I mean, when he was gone for those, what, 6 games, he was missed. It was pretty obvious he was missed.
He's a breakout machine. He and Makar can break the puck out themselves. They don't need to move the puck at times. They just take it. And they're shifty enough to be able to, they're skilled enough to be able to do that.
Guys that they missed injuries, I think he's the one that they probably missed the most.
Isn't that so
or at least that it was as glaring about.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And he's a guy that's wearing the alternate captain A right now too. With EJ being out and things like that, he's a guy that ends up wearing that, and no one has any questions about that. But you hate to be cliche, but I think we've watched enough playoff series now where it's your best players need to be good. You need to have strong goaltending. I guess you need to get a break or two, right? But it's those mid-level guys. If the mid-level guys can take care of business and start to heat up a little bit and start playing some of their better hockey of the year, that really gives you a better shot at going as far as you can in the playoffs. So
what's funny is fun. There's only one player with the Avs that played all 56 games. That was Kadri.
Interesting.
Yep.
Everybody else missed a game, huh?
Everybody else missed a game. We don't really subscribe a lot to plus minus. Right. There's only two players that are, or no, I'm sorry. There's three players that are negative. Calvert, who played 18 games.
Yep.
Renouf, 18 games. And Kadri leads with -7. So
interesting.
That's very interesting. That's a bit of an interesting stat there.
Yeah. -7 on the top scoring team in the league as well.
Kadri's also fourth in penalty minutes. So, but tied with Landeskog and Rantanen. So, you know, maybe the end of McKinnon has more penalty minutes than he does now. Mind you, some of that's because you throws a helmet, you gets the gate, but
you get a little 10 there. A
little bit.
That adds up quickly.
Ryan Graves, our goon, 55 penalty minutes.
Gravy. Oh, he had it. That second period had everything. We can go back to our what's his name again? This is the second Sydney straight Apple podcast. Bomb. The second period had everything. Goals tipped out of midair, 5 goals in all, a fight. Hell yeah, we can go back to that. It was Lemieux's son who hit Sammy Girard in the neutral zone, and Graves went right after him. So there was 5 of those penalty minutes right there.
Nice.
Graves does a little bit of everything. He's had a great year. He struggled up until that first COVID shutdown, and ever since then, he's been really, really strong. So we'll talk
came to
about
the Avs
this.
In a trade for mm-hmm. Bigra.
Yeah, there you go. And I'm telling you, I don't know. There's so much that goes into this. There's like, you never know how, you know, Johansson's another player like that. And Graves is another player. Like, you don't know how these guys are going to play until they're in that environment. Like, there's people from Buffalo that said Johansson is the worst professional goalie they've ever seen in their whole life. Like, that's probably someone who wanted clicks. And that's why I don't even remember what their name was. But he's looked better because you have defense in front of you and you know your team is going to score at least 3.5 goals a game. That's got to help you relax a little bit. You don't have to feel like you have to make every save in order to be competitive every night. So that's another thing. You know, those moves are what they are until you get a long-term view of what these guys are and who they are within this system. You can't mm-hmm. say much about it.
Yeah, it does. Everybody says that you build from the goal out and that goaltending is as much about how the defense plays and things like mm-hmm. that. This is kind of proof of that. They're probably right that Johansson was the worst goalie that they'd ever seen. Playing in Buffalo. With that team. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where Jack Eichel's throwing, you know, the management under the bus and he's as good as gone. Like, and then it was supposed to be a much better year there, and you can see how things go. Now, we've lived that here in Denver not too long ago as well. Mm-hmm. We had a stretch where, you know, that's why O'Reilly's not around anymore. That's why Duchesne's not here anymore. I mean, that's one of those cycles that you go through, but it's all how you choose to handle it and how you choose to approach it rather than just making some assumptions about everything and calling that the truth.
There's a lot of that how stats look, how things look on paper. Mm-hmm. You look at it, it's hard. It's much harder to say. It looks really easy when you have when you've got the TV, when you've got the replays, when you're not at the practices, when you're basing just on what you see and what you read and all of that. And yet the experience has shown that you don't know how a guy is going to be until you get there.
Nope.
And you know, looking at is it fair sometimes when some of these guys get that reputation or get that or it turns out that way, you know? Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. I keep thinking back to was it Neil Little in Philadelphia, and we saw his last game where it basically was he gave up 2 goals really quick, and the rest of the game was the Flyers trying to defend against more shots on goal, and that was his last NHL game because of that.
Yeah.
And from there it was Esch and I can't remember the other guy, Ninamaki, I think.
Sure, sure.
Were the new tandem in Philly, and it was all, and it wasn't like it was a bad blowout game or anything. It just became, we're having to work really hard to keep pucks away from you. When you have a talented team in front of your goalie, it makes it so much easier that they can keep pucks away, that they can clean up the rebounds, that they can get the puck out.
Yeah.
If you can't get the puck out of your zone, your goaltender's going to look worse.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah,
and that's not one of his fault.
Yeah, and that's one of those coach things as well, where show me a good goalie, I'll show you a good coach.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard that from a couple different coaches.
And who was it? I think it was McNabb said, you know, on Johansson's first goal against, I think it was like his first shot, first goal. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, he got that out of the way. Yeah. And here's the thing. It sounds like hype. And it really sounds like you're just making excuses, things like that. But, you know, McNabb sugarcoats things a lot sometimes.
No.
He's definitely a team guy.
No.
But at the same time, he's got some experience behind it to say,
yes, he does.
Yeah. So you got to get those things out of the way. You got to get through them. And if you don't get through them, it's going to haunt you. It's going to, you know, you're just waiting for that first one to go in. First one goes in. Okay. Got that out of the way. It's how you react. You were saying it earlier. It's how you react.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of McNabb, you have a story.
Oh, it was just something he brought up in one of the games recently.
He brings things up during games.
Can you imagine? Well, the thing is, he doesn't talk about his past a ton. You know,
no, he doesn't like, he's very hockey. You know, I think.
Well, there's also some of his past that like, you know.
Of course. He doesn't want to talk about
it. He doesn't want to talk about it. It's, you know. It's,
yeah, Mosier.
Nothing nefarious, but as far as like, you know, or seedy, but you
that's
know,
not the video is, you're looking for.
There is some, yeah.
That was not me.
But. Yeah, he's not going into his shoals anytime soon, if you know what I mean. Dr. Yes. Shoals is... Yeah.
Yes, I think Mosier does ask him things Mr. every Shoals. Once in a while, and you can see McNabb be very very careful about his answers, for sure.
Yeah, there are times when he just like stops talking, and you know that he's just looking at Mosier like,
He'll kill Mosier's face. We know that if he needs to. Yeah. Mosier knows
he was
that
talking
too.
About confidence. I can't remember who he may have been. This was against the, this was on the 3rd of May against the Sharks. Mm-hmm. I can't remember who he was talking about. It might've been Jost.
Okay.
But he was talking about when Stan Mikita, this is like when Peter McNabb was starting out. And Mikita said that he would be fine, that McNabb would be fine in this league. And that was when McNabb felt like, yeah, now I can play in this league. Okay.
That's so cool. Yeah.
You know, and it was, and he wasn't saying it like, yeah, I can play, blah, blah. He was just like, yeah, it gave me the confidence. So I thought it was really cool that
is cool.
Yeah. You know, when you have a guy like that do it, I'm sure that there are, you know, it's funny to look across and go, we've seen Nathan MacKinnon from, you know, when he first started, and you don't really think of him as being kind of that elder statesman at all, or Landeskog, same way. Yeah. They still seem like the fresh-faced kids, especially when you're looking at Joe Sakic, you know, you're still looking at Forsberg and stuff. But if Landeskog takes you aside and says, you're fine, you can play in this league, you're good, I'm sure it makes a difference to the guys who are there.
That is huge.
I also thought it was pretty funny when McNabb said, I watch a lot of hockey. Do you?
Are you sure?
Really?
I do appreciate his background. And like when they start talking, they had Cale Makar became the youngest, like the youngest Avalanche to get 100 points. And like he had an unreal year considering he missed, I think it was 12 games due to injuries and things like that. Just a great year. But he was talking about Michel Goulet. And McNabb played against Goulet, so he can talk about, you know, personally about how big Goulet was and how fast he was. And it's cool to hear somebody with such a history behind the game, including his dad as well. His dad was the GM for the Bruins, if I remember right. So, like, they have a history that he can speak from rather than just kind of guess from, or, you know, something he watched. Like, he lived that. But I think he's very humble in the fact he doesn't bring it up very often. But it's still kind of fun to hear him talk about those guys that he played against.
Yeah, and the history was Big Bad Bruins. It wasn't just like any Bruins. It was the Big Bad Bruins.
Yeah, this is a big. These are big times. These are less teams back then, and the talent was definitely more concentrated. And yeah, knowing that he played pretty well. Yeah, he's very very humble, but it is kind of fun to hear him throw stuff like that in every once in a while.
Yes, he's so humble, and he'll tell you. No, he won't tell
absolutely
you.
Just That's, like we will. We're yeah. very humble.
Yeah. Super humble.
And also, I'm sure he cross-checked a few people for sure, right?
Nice transition, Jay.
I'm working. Nah, here. I'm trying to earn my paycheck here.
No, it's just something I thought it was interesting that I saw on Sportsnet.ca. The 31 Thoughts column is always a must read for me. If you guys don't read it, I
good,
really recommend
good
it.
Stuff,
the only downside about it is that he never talks about the Avalanche, and he's even acknowledged I talk mostly about Canada teams and what do you want Weak. In Canada. But
maybe he won't have a choice here coming up.
They had a GM's call. There was a an update on the standard of what cross-checking means.
Yeah.
And I actually thought it was pretty interesting. As it says in the column, on cross-checking, GMs were reminded of the standard, a push versus a punch with the stick. The
I'm former punch is you okay. With my stick.
The former is okay, the latter is not. So if you take your stick and you just like shove a guy with it, that's not cross-checking.
Right.
If you wind up and whack him with it, it
you
is.
You can't punch people with your stick.
Yeah. So I just thought it was really interesting to hear the clarification on it from the league level, because I get sick of the amount of cross-checking I see. Yeah. I get sick of the guys using their using their sticks like that all the time. And now looking at it, I see a little more clearly where the refs are coming from the non-calls. And at the same time, I still want to see more cross-checks called so we just get rid of it more. Battles in front of the net are going to happen. So if you're shoving a guy with your stick, that's one thing. If you're, but if you're whacking at him, that's another.
Maybe they should change the name of it then. Maybe it shouldn't be a cross check. It's a stick punch.
Or stick punch versus a cross shove.
Yeah, we've got James Grayling for the Avalanche. 2 minutes for stick punching.
Stick punching.
You may not punch people with your stick.
That sounds like I punched my stick.
It's a different thing.
Dang, stick. How dare stick? You?
I will punch you.
I'm going to punch my stick now.
Yes. Everybody turn away. I'm going to punch my stick.
I just thought that was kind of interesting.
That's interesting. Yeah. All right.
There's always that clarification. I'm sure that the GMs get tired of it too. And so that's why they got the reminder of what the standard is, but all of this, everything comes from the league level, whether it's player safety or rules or whatnot. So as long as the standard is adhered to.
That's all we care about. We're gonna call it just like it was Game 7 of the Stanley Cup.
Well, not the last 20 minutes of it.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Get ready for the whistles to be put away, everyone. We know how this goes. No matter how many times they say that we're gonna call this like it was the first game of the season. No, you're not. You lie. Don't lie. But yeah, officiating during the playoffs is different.
They have to lie about it.
Yeah.
They have to.
It's hockey.
Yeah. It's hockey. And now we have, as we talked about a little bit in the last episode, we have the betting world is now part of a big part of sports officially. So that's going to change how those things go.
Like it needed to be any more complicated. Let's throw in another moving part. Yeah.
What are you going to
do? Okay. Nothing.
Oh man, I got to pull up the thing for the thing.
We'll just keep watching. You're going to pull up the thing for the thing.
You got anything else? Because I think that with the playoffs and everything, I think we've kind of reached the end of.
I think so too.
Oh, I do have one more thing.
Yes.
You can get a Paul Carey burgundy jersey, NHL debut set 1/playoffs. So they must have used it at the beginning
on
of the season and the playoffs on Migray for $600.
Does it have a patch on it or no? It doesn't have a patch.
No.
Okay. Because I just remember, I want to say it was Joe Sakic-Knight that he made the opening roster for Joe Sakic-Knight. And I knew that was going to be the jersey that wasn't going to go for quite as much. Speaking of, holy cow, the auctions this year have been ridiculous.
Have they?
Oh, man. The team has started having the players sign the jerseys as well, which adds a premium every single time that happens. They haven't done that in the past, but they're doing it this year. So it's signed, it's game worn and signed, plus a big year, plus the Lake Tahoe stuff. Like the one that sticks out for me is Eric Johnson. Eric Johnson hasn't been around. He didn't wear that jersey, obviously. He only played in 4 games this year. So it was a game-issued jersey, not signed, and it went for $1,200. Like, I was just like, yeah, your face. Yeah, I was like, dang. But yeah, the numbers have been through the roof when it comes to jerseys, because I think people who have listened to our show know what we love. You know that we love our jerseys, but holy cow. Grubauer's jersey from the second period in Lake Tahoe, $4,200. McKinnon, almost $10,000. Saad, $4,000, Byram, $4,000, Makar, $6,000. Ugh. And then like the game worn, this is set 1 away, the white ones, the signed, Landeskog, $2,400, Rantanen about the same, Burakovsky about the same. It's through the roof because they're having such a good year and everybody wants their jerseys. But man, it makes it tough for regular old people who make regular old money to get their hands on these anymore.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty good with where my jerseys are. I mean, yeah. I do not have nearly as many as you do. I probably have as many total jerseys as you do. Yeah. Maybe not quite, but sure, not in the Avalanche realm and not in the game worn or game issued team jerseys. But even looking at looking at Migray, who used to handle all the game worn, I just sorted by price, lowest first. Yep. Peter Tsimikalis, Tsimikalis.
Tsimikalis. It's like,
sure.
I think it sounds Greek. Yeah.
200.
Okay.
For a white 06, 07.
That's fair.
Okay. Game issued. Peter Delmas, goaltender from 09-10, is 225. So there's some deals on.
Oh, there totally is.
Yeah. I mean, Brad Richardson, yeah. You know, but it's a Reebok 1.0, which means it's just like.
Yeah, they didn't crummy, wear it for very long. Yeah.
No, those sucked.
One set.
Ryan Wilson, 225. You know, and maybe you could find like, who was it? Nathan Smith. You can get a Nathan Smith and lie that it's a real Smith. Mm-hmm. You know, you can, there's some here.
McKinnon Smith. Nathan McKinnon
Wacy Smith. Hamilton.
Yeah.
Waskowy Wabbit.
Yeah.
Right. You can get Kyle Quincy, game issued for 225.
All right.
So, you know, you can find some things. Ooh, Scott Hannon. Scott Hannon game issued or a Chris Stewart game issued 225. I mean, there's things.
Yeah.
You know, but at the prices you were talking about, I'd be way out.
These are, you know, this is season tickets. This is mortgages. Yeah. I'd never judge people for how they spend their money, but holy cow. That's a really crazy investment. That EJ just blew my mind. I would think, because it's not game worn and not signed by him, you know, that's about a $300, $400 jersey at the most. That's what his game worns used to go for. But man, you get in the middle of this year. Hopefully it's special. Hopefully there's a lot of good things going on, and here we are.
It's absolutely insane. Hey, yeah. Good on you, but holy cow.
Yeah. Yeah. Have some fun with that. Yeah. So,
Jay, I just want you to know that you can find the Avs Hockey Podcast.
I need to know this.
At avshockeypodcast.com. Transitions, where you can link to all kinds of things like the Avs Twitter Psychic, which has a new home on Twitter, doesn't it?
It sure does.
Tell me about this.
Oh, I will.
Tell me about it now.
Don't tell me what to do.
Why are you leaving me hanging like that?
No, I wasn't.
Look at that idiot over there standing there looking at me like.
Damn it, there goes our great transitions.
Jay.
What I decided to do, I decided to make for the kind of the tagline is a dedicated and exclusive home for Avs Twitter Psychic. So I'm just trying to separate a little bit of what I'm doing tweet wise with what's going on with the game. It was something I thought about for a while as well. But if you want to head to Avs Psychic, and I can't put Twitter in the username or the handle on Twitter. Twitter will not allow me to do that. So I chose Avs Psychic. That's where everything will be retweeted from at the end of every game. That's kind of where that's where all the action will happen. The game hasn't changed one bit. I just wanted to just kind of split things up just a little bit for the people that might benefit from that, especially on the big nights. Like if Alex Newhook would have scored lately the first goal, there'd be 25, 30 tweets on your timeline that you probably didn't want to see all of them. So I just decided to give everybody a choice whether they wanted to follow everything and just kind of see how it goes. You can always follow the hashtag anyway. You can click on Avs Twitter Psychic wherever you see it on Twitter. And it'll show you everybody that's tweeted something out too. So just wanted to give the fans a little more control when it came to that. And that's where I landed. So Avs Psychic.
It's funny. We never even mentioned Newhook the whole thing. Until
he's actually looked pretty good. He's had a couple really good assists. And now we did.
Excellent. Mission accomplished.
I'm glad that worked out.
Jay also has a couple of pucks that he said that he's going to put up there. So keep an eye out on that. His Twitter handle, of course, also is just Avs Podcast. You can use a hashtag team AHP. Yeah, that occasionally Absolutely. Lights up. Who doesn't like that? And there you go. AvsHockeyPodcast.com. That is pretty much the spiel. You have a few shout outs, don't you?
I have a few shout outs. That's brilliant. We're on the internet. You should find us. James mentioned the new goal pucks. I picked up they just arrived. Ryan Graves, his second goal of the year, scored in Anaheim. It was like a pinball machine. So that was cool. And then Gabriel Landeskog's goal that he scored in Glendale. They play in Glendale in Arizona, where he tied Peter Forsberg on the all-time Avs goal scoring list. So I thought that would be cool to pick up. So look out for those goal puck posts pretty soon on avshockeypodcast.com.
Nice.
I want to give a shout out to the May 4th edition of the Spittin' Chicklets podcast. They had Gabriel Landeskog on and an awesome listen. We're not affiliated with them at all or anything like that. But if you want to listen to the captain talk in more of a candid way about the team, in a really entertaining way about the team, that's what you want to go for. 45 minutes about his career. He talked about Patrick Waugh, talked about Sammy Girard and how quirky that dude is. I think they mentioned, I think they described Sammy Girard as a water bug, and I'm going to stick with that. I think that's, you watch him play hockey, he looks literally like a water bug, but obviously plenty more. So go listen to the Captain on the Spittin' Chicklets podcast from May 4th. I told James I have a shout out for the Iowa Wild, and I bet you everybody listening to this show never thought that I would mention anything, at least specifically about the Wild, but more specifically about their minor league team. But that's where Cody McLeod is right now. And Cody McLeod, really? I believe he spent all year down with them. And he's approaching 900 career games. Let's see, how many seasons, too? 16 seasons he's played professional hockey. And I think he has either announced it or they had a feeling, but they let him wear the captain's C last night for his last professional game, perhaps. So I want to give a shout out to them. What a classy move by that team.
Yeah,
to acknowledge everything that guy is. We watched him plenty enough here to know how much we love watching him play, and how he plays the game right. So that was really cool of them to do that. So yeah, shout out to the Iowa Wild for some crazy reason, but it does work out.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's funny. He's the only. There are five guys who have won. Number 55.
I love this game.
And of course he is the only one that I could really think of.
The other one that sticks out of my mind without clicking on the link is Martin Skula.
Yep.
He wore 55 and 41.
Yep. And there were two
Nordiques. Oh, okay. All right.
And then
Anders
Myhrvold.
Yeah. Why do I know these names? Who the heck
knows?
Because
you pay attention.
Yeah.
And you have to carry the weight when it comes to that kind of thing with me sitting around. Like that.
I am happy to do that. Shout outs on Twitter. I just I got on this morning and I was like, hey, if anybody wants a shout out, let us know. Oh. And I'll definitely hook you up. Got a couple replies. It was early in the morning too. But Gabriel Landeskog of Pavel Francouz from
You're making this up, aren't you?
No, I am not. I am stumbling over the words, but I am definitely not making it up. From Bratislava, Slovakia.
Seriously?
We'll be tuning into this show. We want to give him, I'm assuming, a shout out. And thank you so much for listening to the show. I think that's so cool. All the way to Slovakia. The internet. It's a great thing sometimes.
Like, there's probably coffee shops in Slovakia that play us, right? Between
exciting stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Between that and, Tchaikovsky.
There you go. And we want to give a shout out to a longtime listener, Heather. We have both met Heather several times. She's a huge Avalanche fan. I'm sure many of you know her as well. But she said she's listening from Denver, and we definitely want to say hello to her. So hi.
Hi, Heather.
Hope you're doing well. And I also wanted to give a shout out to you and Meg for coming and watching Das Boot Softball Club Thursday night. You guys were in the mountains, and you stopped by to watch us play what we consider softball. And
do any of your team members listen to this?
I don't believe they do. No.
Okay. Good.
you want to really break it down here? Because
I'm gonna let it go.
Yeah. It's.
I was. We were anticipating the greatest sports comeback ever.
Wow, your expectations were.
You guys were you were close. You were darn close.
So close.
So close.
As compared to what?
I don't know.
It was just a very Das Boot Softball Club night, and we had a guy bail at the last minute, so we're playing with 9 guys instead of 10, and yeah, it was just one of those. We have a lot of just one of those nights. We'll just put it that way. But it was
fun
was
to show up, and we really wanted to. I really, really wanted to. When you stepped up to the plate, I wanted since you were playing in right field, I wanted to give you the Charlie Blackman treatment and go. Do the tonight.
I'm also number 19. I'm number 19, which is Chuck's number, but I wear it more just because 19 has good memories for hockey. But yeah, tonight would have worked. Maybe you guys are still planning on coming this week. You can do that and embarrass me some more. But,
You had a couple of good plays. You had that dive for the that slide and dive kind of thing for the ball, and had to dig some salad out of your
There was a lot of they had just cut the grass and there was just tons of grass laying on top there, so it ends up in your socks and under your I wear that thing on my leg just to protect it from getting burned up from from grass and everything too. So it did its job.
Fun. It was a good time. It was a good time.
Thank you for coming. It was good to see it. Like, that was the first time I had seen you since the lockout anyway, since quarantine's all started. So it was really good to see you. So
late February was when we did our last in-person show, and we're still doing the Zoom thing. It is thick as I am and you are of Zoom, and you deal with a lot more Zoom than I do.
Yeah.
Thank you for showing up and doing this.
This is awesome. Yeah. No, I wouldn't have it any other way. Now, however we can get it, that'll work. But yeah, it was really good seeing you and Meg, and that was fun. So I'm glad they'll allow fans. We weren't allowed to have fans. Not like any fans would have shown up anyway.
Well, you know, actually, shout out to your league, because they are getting people's names when they show up as fans for contact tracing. So
I was wondering if they had did that. I'd seen that do that before, but I was out on the field most of the time. But yeah, did they come up to you and ask you?
Yeah, you know, they did. Yeah. Which, cool. You know, which is awesome. Of course, yeah. You know, also guy wasn't wearing a mask when he did. And I was kind of like, hey, dude, you know, it's a little bit of a mixed message here.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Come on, buddy. My vaccine is completely done next week.
There it is. Yeah. So no, I appreciate you coming. It's always good to see people and like interact with people and see them in person and such.
It was awkward.
And sorry about the softball.
That's okay. If I wanted to see people win bat and ball sports, I would not be in Colorado.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, Rockies.
Especially. Yeah. I mean, we play close enough to Coors Field, but yeah, you can get a double dose of not so great, ball and bat and glove sports. So. Yeah, sorry.
And you have a double header next week, so that's going
to be... We do, so we're going to have double the fun. I'm just hoping to get 10 guys there, let alone win. But yeah, having one less outfielder is not fun for us outfielders at all. So, All right.
For the five of you who stayed around for softball talk with Jane James.
Yeah, we've got rules talk. We've got all kinds of stuff.
Everything that's not Avalanche, too.
Well, that's why we're home for almost everything Avalanche. Yeah. So it's playoff time. This is the best time of year. They actually started last night. It's kind of a staggered start. They usually go every other night with every...
So weird.
But yeah, it is strange. So
the way
that
the Canadian teams are still playing, their final bit not mattering at all. I feel so bad for the Vancouver Canucks right now, which really is not something I ever feel bad for. I mean, Vancouver Canucks do not draw my sympathy ever. And yet they're still playing regular season, meaningless games.
Yep.
To finish off a 56 game season where there's no fans anyways.
And I believe their layoff was 24 days as well, like 24 straight days where they're not playing. And it's just, so embrace the weirdness, right?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, there's going to be so many weird little asterisks on this season. You know, do the best you can with what you got. That's
right. But it's still playoffs, still just as exciting. 4 straight years for the Avalanche now. And hopefully this is the year they can, kind of get over the kind of hump they've been stuck on, and we'll be here for it.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
All right, man. Thanks. Oh,
crap. Oh yeah. You don't have it?
It's upstairs.
No, iPad touching.
Well, you want to touch my phone?
No, this is our playoff tradition now. This is on purpose.
Maybe this will work
touch,
out.
No, I don't touch on the playoffs. Just like you don't touch the trophy or whatever. We're not going to touch that. Until
it makes total sense. My fault, man. I left it upstairs. But we know what happens when you touch the iPad. We know the results through the years that have happened with touching the iPad. Let's change it up a little bit and see how it goes.
Let's see what happens.
All right. Fist bump, though.
Boom.
Yeah. Fist bump. All right, man. Take care. And we'll be back in your ear holes here fairly soon. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Especially playoffs. Playoffs.
Playoffs. Playoffs.
Playoffs.
We'll be here. You all will be here. We appreciate your support. Thanks for downloading the show. Let's have some fun during this run. It should be... Should be a good time. So here's to good health, and here's to, you know, breaks, and here's to good stuff happening. It's about that time. All right. For James Tate, Blake Grayling, and I'm Jay Veen. Take care. Go Avs, go. And we'll talk to you next time on the Avs Hockey Podcast. See ya. James, seriously, we need to do this. Let's make it awesome.
My bad. I wasn't seriousing enough. Now I get it. Now I understand.
Where we need like a safe. We need a safe word. Right. When it's time to get serious.
My safe word is.
Oh, yeah. We're definitely off the rails.